Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Even a casual look at the landscape of our culture raises the question of how we can best be ambassadors for Jesus Christ in a society that is redefining its most basic institution. And this is not something that is being projected to happen in the future. It is happening even as we speak with blinding speed. And as I've said in previous broadcasts, we must first recognize that God has spoken. And the moment we do, we will set our sights not by shooting stars, but rather set our sights by the North Star. We must be clear with respect to what God has said. And we must be equipped to communicate the truths of Scripture with gentleness and with respect. And that means we can preach all the right things in all the wrong ways, and we can either yield conviction when we need to have conviction to compromise in the interest of appeasing the culture, or we can become those who are transitional in the culture, those who are no longer microcosms of the culture, but change agents in the culture. And to that point, we must not yield. We must never yield conscience to the subtle lure of political correctness. Because when we do, we capitulate to the culture rather than being salt and light in the culture. So with Luther, you and I must say, my conscience is held captive to the Word of God, and to act against my conscience is neither right nor is it safe. The point of all of that is simply this. We have been called to be lighthouses, as it were, in the midst of gathering darkness. This is why I ask people to stand with the ministry of the Christian Research Institute prayerfully and financially. Please know that we will not compromise to political correctness, no matter how strong the tide. The only reason for me doing what I do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast through the Christian Research Journal, through the many ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, is biblical fidelity, is discernment. The moment we give in, there is no reason for being. And so we will not compromise, and please know that compromise is rampant. More than that, biblical illiteracy is rampant. So please stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org or by writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. When you join the Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you one of my books, and I would be more than happy to personalize that book to you, a family member or a friend. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Matthew, listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate your ministry. And my question is, as far as witnessing to the homosexual community, I work with a guy. He's homosexual, sits right next to me every day. You know, how do I break that barrier? How do I talk to him about what is truth, you know, in a clear, concise way where he's not offended? That's my problem, is that people, when I try to witness, they try to say that, well, you're just a bigot, and they call me names and everything when I'm coming with peace and sincerity. But what is the effective way to get through that barrier?
Well, remember that this is the same for all who are non-believers. We are to reach out to all of them with gentleness and with respect. We are to be able to clearly communicate what we believe and why we believe what we believe, so that sometimes that communication is verbal and sometimes that communication is by the very life that you lead. That's sort of like the salt in the oats that causes someone to want to drink or to eat. It is something that makes them salivate. They want to know what it is about you that gives you a sense of peace and serenity in the midst of life's storms. And then you're able to communicate where that peace comes from. It comes from being a participant in the kingdom. When you are a participant of the kingdom, of course, you join the kingdom by recognizing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That he's the only one that can bridge the chasm between our unrighteousness and the holiness of God. He's the only one that can give our lives the ultimate meaning, the purpose, and fulfillment that they were destined to have. And so what we do is we point out that Jesus is the wisest man who ever lived, but not only a man, he is the God-man. He is God in human flesh, and that to follow him is the wisest thing that we can do. And following him ultimately leads to conforming our lives to his precepts and principles. And for all of us, that is a journey, and we're all in a different stage of that journey. Some are farther down the road than others. Some know more about the precepts and principles of the kingdom than others. But to follow Jesus Christ ultimately means that your life will change because you recognize that the one who knit you together in your mother's womb knows precisely how life is to be lived.
Excellent. I thank you for your ministry.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John. New York, New York, listening on the web. Hi, John.
Hey, how's everything, Hank?
Doing good. Good talking to you.
My question, I actually got into, a dialogue with an atheist, and he was trying to tell me that a religion called Zoroastrianism predates Christianity. A lot of Christianity, Judeo-Christians took the concept of heaven, hell, Satan, a messiah from that religion. I tried to look it up online. I couldn't really find anything too much about the religion other than just, I guess you say, Jesus bashing websites and parallelism websites, nothing just in depth about the religion. So I was wondering if you could just, I guess, tell me a little bit about it and how I can, I guess, talk to this person, defend my faith.
Yeah, good question. One of the things I wrote about in my Complete Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition, is whether or not Christianity was influenced by ancient pagan mystery religions, and the principles here apply. The mystery religions were syncretistic in that adherents not only worshipped various pagan deities, but also frequently embraced aspects of competing mystery religions while continuing to worship within their own cultic constructs. But this is completely the inverse with the historic Christian faith. Converts to Christ singly place their faith in the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." The principles here apply to Zoroastrianism because they have their own Messiah figure, and they believe he will bring ultimate victory after a 6,000-year struggle. Of course, 3,000 years has already passed before the time of Zoroaster. But this is a religion of Persia, modern Iran. I spoke at the University of Tehran and Alma-Tibet about their sociology university, and I ran into this religion quite a bit in talking to students there. It's based on the teachings of the prophet Zoroaster, But what was he as a prophet? He was a polytheist. Now, how could Christianity borrow from polytheism? The Judeo-Christian tradition is fiercely monotheistic, and therefore you can never bridge the chasm between Zoroastrianism and Christianity with rhetoric, nor can you say that one has derived from the other. The two are mutually incompatible because one teaches many gods, the other teaches that there is only one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We'll be right back.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dawn listening in Stanford, Tennessee. And hi, Dawn.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I would like for you to explain to me, I know the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Yeah.
But he comes back to resurrect our bodies. So do you think that initially our soul is with the Lord and we need some type of glorified body to be able to enter heaven?
Well, here's how it works, Dawn. I mean, if you would die today, as a believer, you'd be absent from the body present with the Lord. So you have a physical as well as a metaphysical aspect of your humanity. The physical aspect of your humanity would go to the grave. The metaphysical aspect of your humanity, or the non-physical, non-corporeal aspect, would go to be with the Lord. And Jesus gives a picture of that in Luke chapter 16, doesn't he? When he shows Lazarus being carried by the angels to be comforted in the presence of God. Abraham's bosom or paradise is the metaphor that is used. But the whole idea is the non-physical aspect of your humanity is now with the Lord. And so my dad, who died in 1997, is now in the presence of God. He's enjoying, he's comforted, he's in heaven in the sense of being in the presence of God. But God also promises that one day he is going to restore that which he has created in such a way that there's a new order of things. So the universe that now groans in travail, as Paul describes it in Romans chapter 6, is going to be liberated from its bondage to decay. And we too are going to be liberated. And what that means is when Jesus appears a second time, the soul in the presence of God will return to the body, and that body will be resurrected, and we will be human again. That's what resurrection points to. The whole biblical idea is not Platonic, it's physical. We believe in the physical resurrection of the dead. As Christ rose physically, we too will rise physically. But that happens when Jesus appears a second time. And when he does, this universe is transformed, we are transformed, and we live in transformed, resurrected bodies in a transformed, resurrected universe. So heaven, in that sense, is not only the presence of God, but the restoration of all things.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You got it. Thanks for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Jay. He's listening, New York, New York. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Mr. Hank. How are you? It's my pleasure to be even speaking to you.
Yeah, it's my pleasure as well.
I indirectly defrauded some people, and I wanted to know, should I be doing everything in my power to get restitution to them? I've asked God to forgive me. I cried for days. I can't eat. I feel sick. I mean, I'm just begging God to forgive me.
Wow. You know,
I don't know if I've been forgiven, don't know what to do.
Well, if you ask God to forgive you, he will not turn you away. And you know, what forgiveness with God means is that he objectively offers you forgiveness, and you have subjectively reached out the hand of a beggar and received the gift of a king. And so there's restoration of fellowship. And as that restoration of fellowship happens on a human-divine level, it also happens on a human-human level. And what that means is that you want restoration which involves two people. You have to have someone who is wanting to be forgiven, just as you have to have someone willing to forgive. And when that happens, you have restoration taking place on a human level. So if you are truly sorry for your sin, you turn from it with God's help, receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and now your life is transformed. You want to do it God's way. So you want to make restitution wherever that is possible, and through that restitution become a witness to those who have been defrauded. And I suppose that the ultimate example, in fact, I was thinking about this as you were speaking, is Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Here you have a chief tax collector who is not only collecting taxes on behalf of the Romans, but he is holding people hostage, which is to say, wherever he can, he is lining his own pockets. So he's using fraud and deception and so forth. And when he meets the master and wants to become a participant in the kingdom of the master, he says, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Now, we don't have to go with the hyperbole, but you do have to go with the sentiment. He was genuinely transformed. It wasn't just a transformation that was one of the lips, but it was a transformation of the heart. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this very house because Zacchaeus too is a son of Abraham. And Jesus is using that phrase, son of Abraham, as meaning a participant of the kingdom. Now, that son of Abraham phrase can be used in different ways because the Jews say, well, we are sons of Abraham. And Jesus says to them, you know what? Out of these rocks I can make sons of Abraham. He says, no, you're a synagogue of Satan, because he saw their hearts, not transformed like Zacchaeus' heart, but still unchanged by the presence of the master. So if you've been changed by Jesus Christ, where you have the opportunity to make restitution and thereby be a testimony to God's goodness and grace, by all means do it.
Okay. I just want to feel like God loves me.
Oh,
like
he does.
He's given up on me.
Oh, he has not.
I don't want him to give up on me.
No, he does not give up on us. That's the beauty. And you know, every one of us is a sinner. Some recognize it and some do not, but you have recognized it, and that's why Jesus can say, today, salvation has come to Jay. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for Jay, for the brokenness of his heart, for the willingness to even ask the question, must I make restitution? Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would empower him, enable him, and show him that you are ultimately his source, that you can bring beauty out of ashes, that you can take the years that the locusts have eaten and use them for his good, for your glory, and for the extension of your kingdom. Lord, bless Jay. Give him a support network. Surround him by people that can hold him up, encourage him as he walks now as a follower of the Master, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, we don't pray this vainly. This is not trite. We pray recognizing that Jesus, who spoke to Zacchaeus, even now hears this prayer. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you,
Amen.
Jay.
Thank you so much.
Trust in the Lord, Jay. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will supply your needs, and he is pleased with the brokenness of your spirit. I mean, a broken and a contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. That is precisely what David did. You know, David did things that are unspeakable. He had Uriah, the husband of the woman he wanted, he had Uriah killed. And when David came face to face with his own sin, he said, save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips. My mouth will declare your praise. Then he said, you don't delight in sacrifice, or I'd bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken, a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And so, Jay, those words are for you, a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. So the love of the Master is with you because of the brokenness of your heart.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You got it. And I can hear so many people that are listening to Jay and saying the same thing. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. What a beautiful psalm. I recommend that those who, like Jay, have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, memorize Psalm 51. So many times in the darkness of the night when the devil seeks to overwhelm you, those words will come back and be your solace, your peace in the midst of the storm. Back here next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now."